Isaiah chapter 58. Just thinking a little bit about the connection here at home and how you can start to feel disconnected. And obviously, after studying a particular subject for 3 weeks, some of those thoughts are still running around in my head. So I want to try to share a few of those with you this morning. The title for the sermon this morning is Connecting with God. So the last few weeks I've been thinking about what separation is, what separation looks like, and how it gets lived out practically in the church. Our theme verse was taken from 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17-18. We know them quite well. It's, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." That's 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. So those were our theme verses for the study of separation. And often we look at these verses when we're thinking about the subject of separation, the aspect of come out from among them. And sometimes I think we can overlook the latter part of that verse, which I think speaks of connection. "And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." So this morning I want to think about connecting with God and how we can do that, and some I have a couple points on that. So I think one of the foundational principles in this subject of separation from the world is that we first have a connection with God. And separation without connection is as pointless as claiming a connection with God without separation. So you can see the two have to go hand in hand. We can't be connected with God and not be separate from the world. Neither does it do us any good to be separate without being connected to God. The two must walk hand in hand. So this morning I want to look at that connection aspect, and maybe sometime in the future we'll look at the separation aspect. So if you have your Bibles open, let's start reading in verse 1 of chapter 58. Isaiah says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke that putting forth of the finger and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thyself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as a noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee, and they shall that," sorry, verse 12, "and they that shall be of thee shall build thee old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Let's go ahead and read into chapter 59, the first two verses. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So here in Isaiah, we have the Jews. They're frustrated with God. They're going through the motions of sacrificing. They're going through the motions of fasting. They're putting the dust on themselves. They're dressing in sackcloth. But it's not producing the connection with God that they're looking for. They're blaming God for the situation. They're afflicting themselves, and it seems like God's not even noticing here. It says here in verse 3, we have afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. There was no connection. It seemed like God did not even hear when they cried out to him. They were very frustrated with this. Can you relate to that feeling at all in your spiritual life? Where you feel like you're struggling to feel that connection with God? Or you don't feel close to God, you feel like God's far away. Feel like maybe you're just kind of going through the motions of your spiritual life. You're just reading a chapter in the morning, but not really getting much out of it. Pray real quick so you can hurry out the door. Go on with your day. Missing that connection. Maybe we feel the dirt of the world in our life. We just feel far from God. We feel disconnected. We don't feel connected to God like we should. And my mind went to an example at Bible school. Some of us are a little challenged when it comes to computers and making other electronics work properly. And there's several problems with the Wi-Fi there at Bible school and connectivity. But the printer was a real challenge for me. So one day I was studying in our apartment, and I went down to the Bible school to print off my notes before class. And I thought I had everything figured out, and I had the right printer selected. I had my computer connected to the network, and I was ready to print, but it just wouldn't print. And class time was approaching, and I thought I had everything arranged. I was trying to figure out what was going on, and everything looked good. It looked like I had all the right things selected. But here I had my phone in my pocket, and my computer was connected to the network on my phone in my pocket, and obviously the printer was on a different network. So even though I had good signal, it was the wrong network, and the printer and the laptop would not connect. And I thought about the spiritual lesson that God had for me in that little experience. There's too many times that I'm connected to my own network. I like that freedom. I like to be able to walk around and have that connection, and I feel good about it, but it's coming from out of my own pocket. I like to operate on my own network. The other lesson that I thought about is for me to connect to the network that the printer was on, I need to disconnect from the network that's in my pocket. And the same way in our spiritual life, sometimes we try to be connected to two different networks at the same time, right? We want to be connected to the network of the world, and we want to be connected to the kingdom of God. And this morning, we cannot be connected to two networks at the same time. We have to disconnect from one to connect to the other. It doesn't work to try to be connected to those at the same time. And the other lesson that I thought about was everything can look good. We can be going through all the motions. That's what the Jews were doing here. They were going through all the motions. Everything looked good. It looked like they had all the pieces in place. They were doing the sacrifices. They were doing the fasting. They were bowing their heads. They were keeping the Sabbath day. They were doing all these things. But there was something missing. They're missing that connection. Of course, our internet connections can be frustrating, but they're of no consequence, right? It's just, well, you have to do something else to print. But connecting with God is essential to our spiritual life. It's core. We cannot go through all the motions, but we cannot have a spiritual life without being connected to the source, being connected to God. So I look back over this passage here in Isaiah 58. I see some of those parables. Like I said, they were doing it to please themselves, essentially. If you look here in the end, where in verse 13, they were keeping the Sabbath day, but it was a burden to them. They did not keep the Sabbath day to find rest. They kept the Sabbath day to check a box. So they were fasting. Like I said, they were doing all these things, but it wasn't producing the connection that they were looking for. Again, they were trying to connect to two networks at the same time, and it wasn't working for them. And they had all the right pieces, but it was a broken connection. So what was needed for change here? How could they fix this connection? How could they find connection with their God? And how can we this morning find connection with our God? And it's a lofty thought to even think about when we think about the creator of the universe, the one who speaks and the world is formed. And we're talking about a relationship. We're talking about connecting with the Lord of the universe this morning. It's a concept our minds can hardly get around. But it's so thankful this morning that it's true. So what can we do to find this connection with God? What can we learn from their experience? We know that in the example I gave of the networks, we need a password, right? A password to connect to that network. So what are some passwords that we need to connect to God? So let's look at a few of those requirements. And the first one I'd like to think about is found in chapter 59, verse 2. He says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." The first key in a connection with God is repentance. We must come to God in repentance. We know the story well from Genesis 3, where Satan convinced Eve that God was holding something back from her that she really, really needed. He told her, if you eat it, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to understand. You're going to know good and evil. And we know how she took that fruit. And we know suddenly something was very different in their relationship with God and their relationship with each other. They understood that they were naked. Suddenly they felt the need to cover themselves. They felt the need to hide from God. And God put them out of the garden because of their sin. No more walks with God in the garden. Sin placed them outside of that relationship. That connection that they had felt with God was broken. And then death was the result of that disobedience. But God in his mercy made a way that man could have that connection with him by bringing an animal and sacrificing it. We see Abel doing that. He brought the offering, the best of his sheep, and he brought it and offered it to God as a sacrifice. You know what happened there with Cain? He brought his fruit. He came on his own terms. He came to God on his own terms, and God did not accept his offering. But God did accept Abel's offering, and it made Cain angry. We know the story of how he went out and he killed his brother, and that brought further separation for Cain. So not only was his connection with God broken, but Cain also broke his relationship with his family by killing Abel and further separating himself. Sin breaks connection. And we could follow this theme to Noah, to the separation of the flood, the Tower of Babel, where God looked down and said, I'm going to separate these people because of the sin. Sin separates, but repentance brings us back into that connection with God. It's the message that John the Baptist preached, Matthew chapter 3, 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus also started his ministry with the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4, 17. Follow this through the New Testament. Acts chapter 2. It was Peter's response to the crowd when Peter preached that powerful sermon and they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. I'll read the verses there. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 1. Key to connection is repentance. 1 John 1 is familiar to us, but let's just read those verses. They bring it out so clearly. 1 John 1, let's start reading in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say we have a connection with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see that connection that's coming back together here in 1 John? Sin separates, but repentance brings us back into that relationship. We have fellowship. We have that connection with God again. Repentance is essential for connecting with God. We need to deal with the broken connection that sin brought by repenting of the sin that we have in our lives and coming to God. So the first key in coming to God is repentance. And the second one is faith. We talked about this a lot in our Sunday school this morning. And I wasn't sure if we should put faith before repentance or if we should put repentance before faith. Well, I decided to go with repentance first because it's first in the Bible. But the two go together as well. Hebrews 11:6, we had this in our Sunday school lesson. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is essential in connecting with God. We are gifted with five senses to take in the world around us. And that's the natural way that we connect with the world around us. But we cannot connect with God through the five senses. Now, I think they can aid us. We were in chorus down at Bible school, and Moses led some beautiful songs, and definitely my heart was turned in worship by the songs that I heard. But our senses are often caught by the world around us, and it can hinder our connection with God. We must have faith, which is beyond the five senses that we experience this natural world around us. And often it can be hard for us to maybe connect with God because we don't perceive him through our five senses. And we know what Isaiah says, that some people try to make something that they can connect with God better. They get a piece of wood that doesn't rot, and they take part of it and cook their food, and part of it they warm their bodies, and then the other part they make into an idol. And we can see the fallacy of that, but how often do we have idols in our hearts that take away from God as well. So this morning, to have a connection with God, it takes faith. We can't see God. He's here with us this morning. We believe by faith, but we can't touch him. We can't feel him. Can't see him. It takes faith to connect with God. And it's faith is the connection that causes us to reach out to our Creator and to desire to have that connection. It's faith that we believe there's something beyond today, beyond what we see, and that causes us to think about eternity, and we want to have a relationship with our Creator and with God. The third key in connecting with God is through the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Marcus alluded to some of these verses this morning. Romans chapter 8. Start reading verse 24. Romans 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So Paul ties this thought of connecting with God through faith and the Holy Spirit that lives in the heart of the believer. So we see faith is something that is perceived. See faith in something that is perceived through the five senses is not faith. That's what Paul is saying here in verse 24 and 25. If hope that is seen is not hope. So again, faith, you could put the word faith in there. Faith that is seen is not faith. So it's beyond that. And Hebrews tells us that faith is the evidence or the proof of things not seen. And we talked about this in our Sunday school lesson this morning, how sometimes our faith fluctuates, doesn't it? I know mine does. How's this all going to work out? What about this? What about that? Well, verse 28 here tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Do we have that kind of faith this morning? That whatever we face in life, is God is working it out for our good? Well, it doesn't seem like it to the five senses, maybe, does it? But how about to our eye of faith? Can we see God working behind the scenes and working to accomplish his will in our lives? Ephesians chapter 1, 12 to 14 says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that connection with God, and that's the down payment of what is ahead for the believer. So that gives us hope. The Spirit is also that inward principle and that voice that guides us. It's that voice that tells us, Sonny, you need to repent. You said the wrong thing. You need to go back and make that right. It's that voice that prompts us that to talk to our coworker about his soul. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's that connection that we have with God and how he speaks to us. There's many other ways that he speaks to us. We'll look at a few of those here in just a moment. But in the first part here, we're thinking about the requirements for having that connection with God. So repentance, faith, and the filling of the Holy Spirit are the ways that we communicate, the requirements for connecting with God. So in the latter part of the message here, I'd like to think about some ways that we communicate with God. And the first one is prayer. In Isaiah 58, verse 9, go back to our text verse, our chapter there, God is speaking. He says, then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. We reach out and call on God through prayer. It's one of the ways that we stay connected with maybe friends or family that don't live close by, we don't see on a regular basis. We pick up the phone and we give them a call, right? We call them and talk to them and see how they're doing, and we keep those relationships up. How about a relationship with God? Do we call on Him when we have a situation that we're not sure how to handle? When we face those giants like the children of Israel in our Sunday school lesson, do we call on God? Or do we try to quickly figure out how we can go in and conquer those giants ourselves? When we face a situation that we're not sure which way to turn, where do we go? Who do we call? Do we call the expert in that field? Do we call our doctor? We should sometimes. Who do we call when we're in a situation? Let's call on God through prayer. Psalm 50, 14 and 15 says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Ways we communicate with God through prayer. I take this as a challenge in my own life. My prayer life, it can be something that gets cut short, something that you just do and quickly go on with our day. But this is our connection with God. This is our connection with the Creator of the universe, the one who can handle our problems, the one who can help us out of the situations we find ourselves in. Let's reach out to Him in prayer and pour our hearts out to Him in faith, asking that He can help us with the situation that we're in. Praise Him through prayer. Talk to God as many times as we can through the day, not just in the morning, but when we're driving, when we're fixing the problem, when we're trying to find a solution to the problem on Monday morning, let's pray about it and talk to God and call on Him when we need Him. So we connect to God through prayer. Another way we connect with God is through fasting. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Bible school, we had a time of fasting, and it was good for me to think about fasting again. It's not something I think about as often as I should. So Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, it says, "When they were come to the multitude," they just come down off the mountain of transfiguration. It says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him, talking about Jesus, a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as the grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting.'" I'll stop there. We'll read some more verses in just a moment. But as parents, we understand this problem that this man had. He had a son who had a demon, and he was desperate for some help. This son would fall into the fire, he'd fall into the water, and they brought him to his disciples, and his disciples were not able to help. And Jesus was able to help. And the disciples here, you can see they're frustrated with their lack of power, their lack of ability to take care of this situation. So they came to Jesus and asked him, you know, why couldn't we do this? You said we were going to be able to cast out demons, but why weren't we able to help this man in this situation? And Jesus said, well, it's because of your unbelief. And Jesus said, if you have enough faith, you can do anything. Anything is going to be possible if you have enough faith. And we like that, don't we? We like that idea of being able to tap into a power source and sort of supercharge our powers, our prayers. so to speak. And I'd like to think about fasting maybe a little bit more than that. Jesus said, you need to understand something. These kind of bondages are only broken through prayer and fasting. Now let's just continue to read here, verse 22. Jesus got done saying how you're going to be able to remove mountains through faith and by prayer. And then he goes on to say, verse 22, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. So often we stop reading about fasting at verse 21, because that's the part we like, right? The power. But what I see in verse 22 and 23 is a surrender and brokenness to the will of God. Yes, Jesus could have gone and called on angels to be delivered, but he chose to allow himself to be betrayed into the hands of men and to be killed, and then the third day rise again. I think this is key to connecting with God through fasting. The surrender and brokenness. I think this is when our prayer and our fasting can become effective. Sometimes when we empty our stomach and ourselves, and we open ourselves up to what God has for us, God meets us there and pours his power and grace into our lives. In Isaiah 58, going back to our text verses again, they were fasting and not connecting with God. And Jesus said, God said, what you're doing is not the fast that I am looking for. I'm looking for more than just denying yourself. I'm looking for brokenness. I'm looking for people who are willing to help other people. Right here in Isaiah 57, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So to connect with God through prayer and through fasting, it takes brokenness. It takes humility and a willingness to surrender our will to God for it to be effective, for that connection to be effective. Another way we connect with God is obviously through his word, through the preaching of his word, through the teaching of his word, through the reading of it. I think we often take it for granted because it's so accessible to us. We have it all over. Just thinking about being at Bible school for 3 weeks and the ability to sit down and to study, and the study guides that we have, and the literature that we have, the books that we have on particular subjects. There's so much that we have that I think we often lose. We don't treasure it like we should. I know that I don't. But God speaks to us through his word, and it's alive. It's powerful. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, or it means alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is a letter from God to us. Do we treasure it? Do we pick it up? Do we read it? Do we study it? Do we allow it to change us? Does it influence our life? Does it accomplish the work that it can do? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto the word. Let's not take this connection with God for granted. It's a gift that we have that many in generations past have not had. And we are privileged to have it in our language and something that we can understand. And we have a copy of it and often multiple copies of it. Let's not allow its availability to decrease its value to us. So God speaks to us through his word. And there's many other ways that God speaks to us that we could talk about this morning. Through his church, through the brotherhood, through people speaking into our lives would be another way that God speaks to us. What is our connection with God like this morning? Do we have sin in our life that needs to be confessed, taken care of, so that God can, we can feel that connection with God again? Do we just need to pause in our busy schedules and allow God to speak to us, whether it be through his word, through prayer? But this morning, our connection with God is essential. If we want to walk with him and have relationship with him, we must make sure that connection is strong and that we are connected to God's network and that he can speak into our lives. Let's pray.